Hey, hello. Some of you might have seen some of the slides I'm going to show yesterday. If you saw Dr. Bob Gerlach's presentation, he's the state veterinarian. I'm saying it because it's a nice segue, because we always present together, and that shows that we share things and collaborate on these issues. And we use actually the data that Dr. Gerlach generates from his fish monitoring program in part to generate these guidelines. He works with many agencies and stakeholders around the state to collect fish and analyze them for mercury and other contaminants. Mercury is the risk driver for all of our Alaska fish, so it makes things easier. In addition to the fish data, we reviewed the guidelines were first developed in 2007. Before that, there were really no restrictions. 2014, we updated the guidelines. We reviewed recent studies on neurodevelopmental endpoints, diabetes, and cardiovascular health. And it was driven by the large amounts of fish consumed by Alaskans, so it's really important to consider that. This is just a picture I've shown in some other presentation. It's a friend. She's Alaska native. She went fishing with her family one weekend, and this was her portion of the salmon. So, and she lives alone. One thing we consider, we do a risk-benefit analysis. We don't just look at fish as bags of mercury swimming, and unfortunately, that's something that many people consider. You know, you have contaminants, mercury, persistent organic pollutants, metals, many other contaminants. You have benefits, omega-3 fatty acids, protein, selenium. But we also consider, especially for traditional populations, subsistence populations, you have the sport, culture, subsistence, spirituality, and identity. And those are really tough to gauge. Also, you look at these cultures as they, heavy fish-consuming cultures, as they drift more towards a so-called Western lifestyle, the benefits are all the more needed. And I always make sure to put these scales tipping to the benefit side. I don't know if anybody noticed that. So our message, and to go back, there's this number, 0.56 micrograms per kilogram body weight per day. That's the allowable, acceptable daily intake for mercury from fish. And compared to the EPA's, EPA's is 0.1. So this is about five times higher than EPA's, and if somebody wants to tell us how we're giving bad advice, we could duke it out later after the... But we really consider the benefits when the risks are uncertain and the benefits are really solid, we tend to really focus more on the benefits. We used the Seychelles study to do our risk assessment to do this, to develop this number. And for those not familiar with this study, they had over 700 women child pairs. They monitored women's mercury exposure during pregnancy and followed the children for over 20 years. And overwhelmingly, they've showed benefits associated with fish consumption. We've developed this point system for fish consumption. We have unrestricted amounts in that green, and that's the majority, vast majority of fish consumed by Alaskans. And as you go up to shark and bigger halibut, you start getting more restrictions. And this is only targeted towards Alaska women and children. We have not developed specific guidelines for the rest of the population. We don't assume that there's, we assume there's no appreciable health risk from consuming fish. We also have a supporting program. It's a hermercury biomonitoring program. If somebody wants to know if they're doing well, if they have too much mercury or not, it's a free test they could take, and we have that program as well. We had quite a few state and federal agencies help develop these consumption guidelines, and these are all agencies, tribal, state, federal, local, that are based in Alaska. And just to stand behind our fish benefits, we've renamed one of our websites to eatfish.alaska.gov. So that sends the right message for us. Thank you.